makers of Chasen Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chasen Sanborn Hour, and your host, Edward Arnold. Good evening. This is Edward Arnold greeting you and bidding you welcome to another Chasen Sanborn Hour. Our guest tonight, the Scotch singer Ella Logan, the fine character actress Kathleen Lockhart, and the young star Richard Cromwell. Then, of course, we have Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, the Stroud twins, and Robert Armbruster, and the Chasen Sanborn Orchestra. It's Nelson Eddy who starts us off with a gay aria from Mozart's comic opera, The Marriage of Figaro. Nelson Eddy.
Nun, Herr Hauptmann, geben Sie mir Ihre Hand. Ich muss dich sprechen, noch ehe du fortgehst. Adio, mein kleiner Cherubino, welch anderem Leben gehst du nun entgegen? Nun vergiss leises Flehen, süßes Kosen und das Flattern von Rose zu Rosen. Du wirst nicht mehr die Herzen erobern, ein Adonis, ein kleiner Narzis. Du wirst nicht mehr die Herzen erobern, ein Adonis, ein kleiner Narzis. Nun vergiss diese prangenden Federn, diese Blumen, die schimmernden Bänder, diese Locken, die seidenen Gewänder, dieser Wangen so rosigen Glanz, dieser Wangen so rosigen Glanz. Nun vergiss die bunten Bänder, diese Feder, diese Locken, die seidenen Gewänder. Nun vergiss leises Flehen, süßes Kohlen und das Flattern von Rose zu Rosen. Du wirst nicht mehr die Herzen erobern, ein Adonis, ein kleiner Narzis. Du wirst nicht mehr die Herzen erobern, ein Adonis, ein kleiner Narzis. Untersuchen links am Raden, große Berge, blanke Braten, quer auf Schultern, schwer zu sein, wessen Schritten, kühnen Blicken, ganz gewaffnet, von Kopf zu Füßen, sehr viel ihr, doch schmale Bitten, sehr schmale Bitten, sehr schmale Bitten. Statt den Reigen anzuführen, ich den Reigen nicht markieren, durch verschneite Wüstenwälder, über sonnengrüne Felder bei dem Donner der Geschütze und dem Herrn voller Blitze, Sausen, Bomben und Granaten, Rettung ist hier um das Tor. Nun vergiss die bunten Blätter, nun vergiss diese Feder, nun vergiss diese Locken, nun vergiss die seidenen Gewänder. Nun vergiss leises Flehen, süßes Kosen und das Flattern von Rose zu Rosen. Du wirst nicht mehr die Herzen erobern, ein Adonis, ein kleiner Narzis. Du wirst nicht mehr die Herzen erobern, ein Adonis, ein kleiner Narzis. Cherubino auf zum Siege, auf zu hohen Wacken ruhen. Cherubino auf zum Siege, auf zu hohen Wacken ruhen. Auf zu hohen Wacken ruhen, auf zu hohen Wacken ruhen.
Miss Betty, how you do dish out those notes? That was wonderful.
Thanks, Charlie.
Yes, it was. And speaking of notes, Mr. Eddy, I have a little banking proposition. Would you be interested in a sort of...
No, I wouldn't.
Well, that clears that up, doesn't it? If you'll pardon me, Mr. Eddy, I think I'll put the B on Mr. Arnold. Oh, Mr. Arnold,
Buzz, 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 business, 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 business.
Yeah, Charlie, what is this buzzing? What do you want to sell me now?
Well, we've just organized a bank, Mr. Arnold. How would you like to be vice president?
Oh, a big businessman now, eh?
Yeah, I'm a financial tycoon. Mr. Arnold, we'd like to see you have some of our stock.
Who, me?
Well, anybody. We got unloaded somehow.
No, I'm not interested in it, Charlie.
You're not, huh?
No.
Well, there's only one sucker left around here. Mr. Bergen?
Yes, Charlie.
Would you like to buy some of our bank stock?
Oh, I see. You're in the banking business now.
Yes, yes. Way in it, yes.
The House of McCarthy?
No, it's the House of Skinny, Stinky, and Me.
All right.
It's for junior investors.
It's for the neighborhood boys.
That's what it is, yes. We're teaching them a lesson in investing.
Oh, that is fine. That's a very fine thing.
Yes, it is.
Teaching them to save.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But do you think, Charlie, do you think that your bank is the proper place for them to put their money?
Well, that's just it. We're teaching them a lesson to be more careful next time. Yes, there
he goes. Yes. Well, what's the name of this mushroom?
Yeah. Please, Bergen, please.
Oh, no.
You're speaking to the president.
Oh.
And it cuts.
Yeah.
I see. Dignity, you know.
Yes, I'm sorry.
After all, I don't have to come here to get insulted. I can get that at the bank. Yeah.
All right, what is this financial organization?
It's the last national bank. And the recreation center.
Recreation center.
Yeah, we give them a run for their money.
Well, that's quite an institution.
Yes, but the institute is destitute.
Oh,
that's why we're selling stock.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, who are the officers of this magnificent organization?
Well, naturally, I'm chairman of the board.
Naturally.
And Skinny and Stinky are directors.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, they stand on the corner and direct the kids to the bank.
Now, what do?
I collect the money.
You mean to say you let Skinny and Stinky do all the work, Charlie? Why, that's just laziness.
Well, us bankers call it executive ability.
Well, have you many depositors?
Well, we have about 8 or 9 kids there.
Yes?
Yes, but... They're all vice presidents now.
Vice president?
Yes. You see, every time the kid squawks for his dough, we make him a vice president. That holds him.
Well, that's a fine state of affairs. Why don't you give the kids their money?
Well, Mr. Bergen, it is with deep regret I have to report that the last national bank was robbed.
Robbed?
Yeah.
A bank robbery?
Oh, nothing less.
Haven't you a burglar alarm or a night watchman?
Yeah, old man Dugan is our night watchman.
I see. And you were robbed in spite of Dugan?
In spite of is not the word, Bergen. Because of.
Oh,
And we took all precautions, too.
Well, did you have bars on the windows?
Yes, we did everything to make Dugan feel at home. Even rigged up a burglar alarm.
A homemade affair?
Yes, and a very tricky thing it was, too.
Yeah, I imagine so.
You see, we put a pail of water on top of the door, see? And...
Yes, I know. So if the burglar walks in through the door to the money vault, the water spills on him.
That's right.
Well, that certainly should teach this culprit a lesson.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But it ruined two of my best suits.
It did.
To say nothing of the pail hitting me on the head.
Oh. You don't mean to say that you were responsible for...
Bergen, please. I've had a tough enough time to bump on my head to the board of directors.
Well, how did you explain it?
Well, I told them I was testing the burglar line.
Testing it?
Yeah. Well, that's the way they felt about it, too. And to make things worse, Skinny wanted to borrow $5 from the bank.
Yeah. Well, did you lend him the money?
Well, no. We met him halfway.
Halfway?
Yeah. We let him have 15 cents.
A 15-cent loan?
Yeah.
Did he put up any collateral?
Yeah, he griped a little, yeah.
best we could do. You see, we were fresh out of wampum.
No money.
Not a sow.
I mean, stew.
Stew, pardon me. I'm speaking Pig Latin.
Well, how do you expect to carry on, Charlie?
Well, Mr. Bergen, we've been pals a long time, haven't we?
Yes, but not long enough.
It's that in the head, yes.
Charlie, if you expect me to rescue this banking proposition, you're sadly mistaken.
If I'm mistaken, I'm sad, all right. You mean you won't do it?
No, I won't. How long has this last national bank been functioning?
Well, I'll give you the career in a nutshell. They open for business Monday morning at 10 a.m. Deposits made 10:30. Run on the bank, 10:45. Bank failed, 10:46. 10:47, moratorium set in. And we've been under the oxygen tent ever since.
From the heaths of Scotland, whatever heaths are, comes Miss Ella Logan. And a bonny, brisk, gutsy lassie she is, too. Ella sings Little Lady Make-Believe. Ella Logan.
Goodness gracious, who's that little lady standing right before my eyes? Why, heaven only knows, in these funny clothes, you're so hard to recognize. Dressed up in a gown that trails on the floor, in a picture hat that your mommy wore, living in a world that you never saw. My little lady make-believe. Why, what a pair of shoes for two tiny feet, and what a pair of gloves, why, the fingers don't meet. Posing in a glass, your joy is complete. My little lady, make believe. In your little arms, the doll you unfold, it means the world and all to you. Ah, but you could never love the doll that you hold half as much as I love you. So just dream your little dreams and may they come true. And may the coming years bring happiness to you. Cause all my little dreams are wrapped up in you. Little lady, make believe. In your little arms, the doll you unfold, it means the world and all to you. Baby, you could never love the doll that you hold half as much as I love you. Just dream your little dreams and may they come true. And may the coming years bring happiness too. Cause all my future dreams are wrapped up in you. My little lady.
Every listener can use this information, so be sure to listen carefully.
Some foods are at their best only when they're fresh. You want fresh milk, fresh eggs, fresh coffee. Be sure to include coffee in that list of perishable foods, for coffee contains a delicate oil. In freshly roasted coffee, this oil carries the flavor and aroma you love. But you lose this goodness if your coffee is not fresh. For in stale coffee, changes take place. Stale coffee can be disagreeable and rancid tasting, unpleasant to drink. And although coffee, like other perishable foods, can be preserved, millions of people prefer freshly roasted coffee, Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. So join these millions. Assure yourself of coffee at its best. Get coffee that you know is freshly roasted, Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. The date on the Chasen Sanborn bag front tells you when your grocer received that coffee, freshly roasted. Rush to him from nearby Chasen Sanborn ovens by a special fresh food rapid delivery system. Yes, that date takes all the guesswork out of buying coffee. When you buy Chasen Sanborn dated coffee, you can be sure of getting finer coffee, freshly roasted. Get up on tomorrow. Enjoy the full, rich, mellow flavor of the world's choice coffee. Enjoy this superb blend hot or serve it iced. That rich, hearty Chasen Sanborn flavor is exactly what you need for iced coffee as it should be, for hot coffee as you like it. Buy a pound of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
The song is a familiar composition of the great violinist Fritz Kreisler. Nelson Eddy sings the old refrain.
Night of all that life can give, but
The Lockharts, Gene and Kathleen, are one of Hollywood's most popular couples and finest actors. Kathleen Lockhart is now at work at MGM on the picture Sweetheart, starring Nelson Eddy. She has appeared in The Devil is a Sissy, Penrod's Double Trouble, and Mr. Cinderella. Richard Cromwell came to pictures to play the leading part in Tolerable David when he was in his early teens. He's not very far out of his teens now, and he's made a big hit in pictures like The Lives of a Bengal Lancer and Jezebel. Kathleen Lockhart and Richard Cromwell appear with me in Philip Barry's play, You and I. Miss Lockhart plays my wife, and Mr. Cromwell, my son. Kathleen Lockhart and Richard Cromwell in You and I by Philip Barry.
When Maitland White was 20, he dreamed of a career as an artist, but then he fell in love. Artists don't make money, and it takes money to support a wife. So Maitland went into business, but in his spare time, he was always sketching something. Now he is 50, with a good job, a lovely wife, a 20-year-old son, and just the remains of his dream of an artistic career.
Nancy, come here and see this one old print I've got for your room.
Maybe you lamb. Oh, too enchanting.
It's called the Embarkation for Cytherea. Hangs in the Louvre. Remember the night before we were married when we embarked for Long Island in a sailboat and got becalmed halfway over? I'll never forget your mother's face as we tiptoed in at 5:30 in the morning.
Hello, Mom.
Hello, son.
Dad, you're getting middle-aged at last.
Ricky, what do you mean, middle-aged?
Well, it's the first time I've ever heard him brag what a cut-up he was as a lad. Unmistakably, Dad, you're done.
Done? Hey, who beat you 6-love, 6-2, 6-3 this morning, huh?
Well, you're fit enough. It's the mind that goes first.
Middle-aged?
Well, if you're not middle-aged, you should be. Because you're going to have a daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law? Vicky, you don't mean...
Uh-huh. I'm going to marry Ronnie.
Congratulations, my boy. And upon the inheritance, too.
The what?
The legacy.
What do you mean?
Well, haven't you come into a large fortune?
Well, not that I know of.
Well, then how do you expect to support Ronnie?
I'm going to work.
Well, what about your architecture?
Oh, I can study evenings and Sundays and fine art.
Yeah.
Well, I can.
Ricky, you love architecture, and you're unusually well suited for it. But you need at least 3 more years of solid study, 3 years in Europe. I want to tell you, son, that the most important thing in a man's life is the choice of his work. You made a fine choice. Stick to it. You'll need absolute independence, freedom to think only I in my work. After marriage, that's no longer possible. From then on, it's you and I, and with you first every time.
I think your father knows what he's talking about, Ricky.
But I simply can't give up, Ronnie.
In my opinion, any man who sacrifices his career for the sake of a girl hasn't the backbone of a cup of custard. And any girl selfish enough to permit such a thing is...
Isn't that a bit tough on Mother?
Huh?
Oh, don't be silly, Ricky.
But I don't see what it has to do with...
Oh, Ricky, you better run along upstairs and dress, or you'll be late for the dance.
All right. You two have to get dressed, too, you know.
What do we have to get dressed for?
It's Ronnie's birthday. She's giving a dance. You knew about that.
Oh, yes. I forgot all about it.
Oh, dear. I've got to get dressed, too. Why don't you make me go up?
Well, you go right up and get dressed.
I won't.
Oh, you're an obstinate baggage.
I'm your wife and you adore me.
Which makes you nonetheless obstinate.
Matey, you're a grand old thing. You know it?
I most certainly do.
But it doesn't become you to admit it. You know, I believe I'm in love with you.
Well, that's my fatal fascination. Nancy, have I been looking done in lately or done up or done anyway?
Why, no.
Honestly, Nancy, I get so fed up at times I could throw the whole works right off.
Oh, poor lamb. Seriously, what about a holiday? It's years since we had a good long one.
Well, the market shot to pieces and we can't afford it.
Oh.
Not if we're to send Ricky abroad to study.
But you know he's not going.
Yeah, do you think he's actually in earnest about getting a job and getting married?
I'm almost certain he is. That he can study on the side.
On the side, yes. His one hope for peace is to forget it entirely. Oh, it's criminal for that boy to give up his career.
Was it criminal for you too, maybe?
So that's what he meant, huh? Well, it's quite different with us, quite different.
Is it?
Yes.
course it is.
I'm not so sure. Mason, as you love me, there's something I want you to do.
What is it?
Be business for a whole year. Get a leave of absence, if possible. Otherwise, resign.
But, my dear, why?
Oh, please. Do you think I've had all these years of you to be fooled by pretense now? I've known for a long time that you weren't happy and why you weren't. But I've never known quite how much it meant to you, dear. I want you to devote the year to painting.
Well, it's a nice idea, Nancy, but...
We'll give up the apartment and we'll stay in the country over the winter. One old car. And Ricky will be in business, no longer an expense.
You must understand, I have very little outside of my salary.
Oh, yes. But plenty for us. We'll economize on everything. We'll begin with the electric lights.
Oh, people would think I lost my mind.
Oh, people.
Well, I suppose they wouldn't have to know, would they? Only Mr. Warren, if I asked for a leave of absence, he'd have to know why.
Tell him it's personal research.
And if the research finds nothing?
Macy, if you don't still think the bird in the bush is worth any two in the hand, you might as well die.
Well, that's very nicely put, very nicely put. But I'm not going to be bullied into anything like...
Nobody's bullying you.
Well, I'll think... Well, perhaps by and by.
Nothing of the sort. You must tell Mr. Warren in the morning. How long will it take you to wind up your affairs?
Well, I always keep them arranged so that if anything should happen to me...
Something has happened to you. You've decided to start painting the day after tomorrow.
Oh. By George, I'll do it. There they go. The two in the hand. We're off for the bird in the bush.
Oh, Macy. How is it coming, Macy?
Well, I'm no Rembrandt.
Oh, Macy, don't destroy it.
I'm not really. I'm going to start it all over. I was kind of rusty there at first. Nancy, Nancy, it's finished. It's finished. Come here, take a look at it.
Oh, Macy, it's beautiful.
Oh, I don't know. I'm a bit disappointed in it myself.
Nonsense. It's wonderful.
You know, I'm going to ask Mr. Warren to come up and look at it. Besides being the boss, he collects pictures, you know. But I'm not going to tell him who did it.
Mike, that picture's wonderful. It's just the type I've been looking for.
Well, I didn't think it was so... Well, I'm glad you like it anyway.
I certainly do. It's just what I want for a new calendar.
Calendar?
Yeah, sure. Look, can't you just see
it? Yes, I can see it with February written across the bottom instead of the painter's signature.
Now, it might be better to put something in the girl's hand to give it a little more meaning. A bunch of flowers or maybe a book.
A book.
Yes, but you forget about it. The art department will fix it up. Now, White, I've been wanting to talk to you for some time. You know, we've missed you at the office.
Well, it's nice to hear that.
And when are you coming back?
Well, I haven't thought of it at all, Mr. Warren. Sometime, perhaps.
The position of general manager is open at the moment, and I think you're just the man for it. In double your old salary. What do you say?
Well, I could send my boy and his wife to Europe.
I'll expect you in the office Monday. And bring that artist with you, whoever he is. He's a hack, but he's got popular appeal.
Nancy, I'm a failure. The picture's no good. I guess I waited too long. Well, at least I can make sure that Ricky gets every possible chance. Hmm? Where is he now?
Dressing for Ronnie's masquerade party.
Uh-huh. Oh, Ricky? Oh, Ricky?
Don't take it too hard, matey.
No, I'm not.
Did you call me, Dad?
Oh, yes. Come here a minute, Ricky. How would you like to go abroad and study?
Oh, I couldn't take any money from you, Dad. I'll manage all right with my job.
That's the you in him speaking, matey.
Well, I've got good news for you. When you were born, your grandfather took out an endowment policy in your name. It falls due now. You have a yearly income of about $2,000 for about 5 years.
What?
Both you and Ronnie could manage on that if you want.
Wait a minute, Dad. I'm all in a fog here. Are you sure you don't need that money yourself?
Oh, Ricky, it's yours, you know.
Oh, boy, how I'm going to work. Gee.
I know you will, my son. I know you will.
Ricky, where are you going?
I'm going to tell Ronnie right away.
His grandfather did nothing of the sort.
I know he didn't. But Ricky would never have taken that money from me.
Are you sure you're acting wisely?
My dear, wisdom has nothing to do with love.
Matey, if this is a failure, it's a kind I've never seen before.
Why, you talk as though I've given up painting entirely. I'll work weekends.
Weekends?
Yes. And by the way, if we're going to Ronnie's masquerade, I'd better get into my costume. What sort of a hideous disguise have you got for me this time?
The usual, a matador.
No. Tonight I shall be something different.
But there isn't anything.
Yes, there is. I'm going, my love, disguised as an artist.
Jason Sanborn with Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Edward Arnold, Kathleen Lockhart, Richard Cromwell, Ella Logan as Scott Trim, and Robert Armbruster and the Jason Sanborn Orchestra continues in just a moment.
This is Edward Arnold, and on we go with the Jason Sanborn Hour, a rousing song of an old sea dog of the days when sailing ships were made of wood and sailing men made of iron. Nelson Eddy sings Captain Stratton's Fancy.
Oh, some are fond of red wine and some are fond of white, and some are all for dancing by the pale moonlight. But rum alone's the tipple and the most delight of the old maid of Henry Morgan. Some are fond of Spanish wine, and some are fond of French, and some will swallow tie and stuff to try their thirst to quench. But I'm for right Jamaica till I roll beneath the bench, says the old mate of Henry Morgan. Oh, some are for the lily, and some are for the rose. But I am for the sugar cane that in Jamaica grows, for it's that makes the bonny drink to warm my copper nose, says the old mate of Henry Morgan. Oh, some are fond of dancing and some are fond of dice, and some are all for red lips and pretty lass's eyes. But a right Jamaica punchin' is a fine art of prize. Oh, the old mate of Henry Morgan. Oh, some that's good and godly ones, they hold that it's a sin to throw the jolly bowl around and let the dollars spin. But I'm for toleration and for drinking at an inn, says the old mate of Henry Morgan. Mortal wicked rogues that live in good repute. So I'm for living honestly and dying in my boots like an old bold mate of hell. Henry Morgan.
Wilson, I should like to thank you for that thrilling song, but after all, words are not adequate to express the feeling that is in my heart.
You say, Clarence, that's quite a flowery speech. Well, why don't you just drop the words and present Nelson with an orchid from your garden?
I'd be glad to, Edward, but unfortunately, though I have tried many times, I have not been able as yet to cultivate an orchid. The last time I planted an orchid, I got to...
Baked potato.
That is absurd, Claude.
Well, baked potatoes or orchids, I'll tell you this, Clarence. You made me so flower conscious last week, I went right out and got myself a rake and a hoe and a package of seeds and planted them.
The rake and hoe, too?
Of course not, Claude. I'm glad, Edward, to know that I inspired you to take up gardening. What did you develop?
A backache. Yeah, believe me, gardening is no bed of roses.
It's true that floriculture is very exacting, but it has its rewards. Only last week, one of my petunias won first prize in the flower show.
Oh, is that so? What's playing at the flower show this week?
Samson and Delilah.
Oh, opera, eh? Well, I like opera. Anything else?
David Poppyfield, yeah.
A double feature, hey? Oh, goody, goody.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, gentlemen, but I am not speaking of a moving picture presentation. I am referring to a flower show.
Uh-huh. Say, Claude, did you see The Prisoner of Xenia?
No. I saw Alexander's Ragweed Band.
Well, isn't there a song in that called Fiffle While You Work?
No. I think there's one called Petunia Old Gray Bonnet.
May I remind you again that this is...
When are they going to show Begonia with the Wind?
As soon as they find someone to play the part of Scarlet O'Hollyhock.
Your jesting leads me to believe that you are intrigued by the names of flowers. It may interest you, gentlemen, to know that even the very simple little bachelor button answers to the curious name of Centaurea cyanus.
I'll think of that. Clarence, how do you know so much about so much? I bet Claude doesn't understand you half the time.
I'll give you 8 to 5, I don't.
Claude, I deplore the fact that you hold my quest for knowledge so lightly, when you know as well as I that we Strouds have always had a thirst for learning, for knowledge.
Oh, that's swell. Were all the Strouds smart?
They were all thirsty.
Apparently, you misunderstand what I'm trying to convey. I have no desire to be considered an oracle. My search for knowledge is inherent, something over which I have no control. Tell me frankly, Claude, do you consider me a know-it-all, a stuffed shirt, a pedantic bigwig?
That about covers it, yeah.
With the exception, perhaps, that my mind is more attuned to the reception of knowledge, I am exactly like any other human, exactly like you, Claude.
I demand a public apology.
All right, exactly like Edward.
And I demand a recount.
Well, leaving individuals out of this, let us say I am any man you meet on the street. I may even be a bum.
Now we agree with you.
Say, Clarence, you must have been a pretty studious kid.
Yes, Edward, I was. My predilection for detailed information began at an early age, and I am extremely proud of my scholastic attainments. I started school and skipped the second, fourth, and third grades, continued to college, skipped one term there, then started to work in the bank.
And skipped town.
Why, Claude, that...
Yeah, he's skipping about the whole thing, isn't he?
I paid back everything. I did not skip town. It was just such levity and misunderstanding that originally turned my affection from humans to books. Now I spend all my time with books.
Who's that blonde book I've seen you out with?
That was no blonde. That was not last night. And don't say seen.
That's right, Claude, that's right. Don't say seen, say caught.
Clarence, yes.
You certainly must be a rapid reader.
Yes, Edward, my method of perusal is swift and facile. I remember when I went through Plato's Republic in the span of an hour. I recall when I went through Les Miserables in one sitting.
You remember when we went through Kansas City in a boxcar?
Well, that is beside the point. I attribute my ability to absorb knowledge to the fact that my brain may be likened to a filing cabinet which segregates ideas. You see, Edward, my brain is divided into a series of pigeonholes.
Well, don't the pigeons keep you awake at night?
In spite of your facetiousness, I'm sure you see the point.
Oh,
I'm
sure I do. You mean if we opened your skull, we'd find history in one place, geography in another place, and botany in another place? That's a good idea, Claude.
Opening a skull's a good idea.
Well, hasn't your type of life made you kind of lonesome, Clarence?
Not by any means, Edward. However, I work out my problems alone because in that way I gain my greatest satisfaction. Where, pray tell me, are two heads better than one?
In a sideshow.
Perhaps, but I am not in a sideshow.
That could be arranged.
I'd like to be... I'd like to be his manager.
You challenge my methods, gentlemen, but to me, all life is a challenge. It is impossible for me to be a merely casual observer. When I look at something, I must know all about it. I must get to the bottom of it.
Let's take him down the ocean, Ed.
Well, do you think you'll get to the bottom of that?
Though you jest, there are many things at the beach besides water. Many things that escape your notice.
I like to run in the red bathing suit myself.
There are wonders all about us at the seashore. Take the seashell.
Oh, I know that one. I know that one. How many seashells can she sell? If she sells, she sells. Oh.
Edward, you realize that every seashell was once a living thing and portrays a chapter in the life of the marine world? One of the treasured shells is the Nossifossata.
Hmm?
The Nossifossata. It is formed like a basket and is brown and yellow in color.
Just get a basket of tasks.
Brown and yellow, Nossifossata.
Your childish prattle is most disconcerting. The oldest seashell on our coast comes from the tiny mollusk known as the aplysia.
Who aplysia?
The aplysia. It stays in the water close to the shore.
Oh, you mean it doesn't come out in the breeze yet?
No, Edward, it is very shy.
It runs a minute at seizure.
Gentlemen, please you. I mean, please.
Oh, Clarence, we were just trying to tease you. But seriously, if I would really want to know these things, which I wouldn't, how would I go about it? What's your secret?
I'll tell you, Edward. The crux, the bulwark of my scholastic method is merely one word used in the form of a question, and that word is why. I'm not content to accept things at their face value. No matter what I see, no matter what I hear, I immediately ask, why?
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 Ever since the day I was born.
Why?
Your interruption is ill-timed and incongruous. Every morning I arise and stand at my window. I ask myself, why does the rain fall? Why is the sky so clear? Why is the sun so hot? Why does the snow drift?
You're certainly having a lot of funny weather in your neighborhood.
Unusual, I calls it.
I am forever seeking the answers to the eternal questions, just as in the words of the poet. Why does the eagle soar so high? Why do the stars gleam in the sky? Why do the roses bloom so sweet?
Why does the chicken cross the street?
Why?
Your inability to say anything but why is most distressing. In fact, so much so that I will forthwith take my leave of you. What do you say to that?
Why not? You take the high road and I'll take the low road and we'll get to Scotland before you. But Scotland comes to us in the person of the very personable Scotch lassie, Ella Logan. So get the clans a-clanning and start the bagpipes bagging, for with a feather in a hat and a burr in a voice, Ella Logan gives us My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean.
My bonnie lies over the ocean. Oh, my bonnie lies over the sea. Oh, my bonnie lies over the ocean. Please bring back my bonnie to me. Bring back, oh, bring back. Bring back my bonnie to me. Bring back, oh, bring back. Bring back my bonnie to me.
back this Barney to me. For taking back, giving back, throwing back, tossing back. We have agreed to disagree. You can take him back, shove him back, give him back. This is the end of my Barney and me.
Bring back my bunny to me, Hootlot.
Which means, I suppose, Charlie, that you're anxious to meet Ella Logan, huh?
Yeah, and don't forget to tell her my name is McCarthy. Make it Sandy McCarthy.
Oh, hello, Sandy McCarthy. My, you sound like a real Scotch boy.
Sure, and does that make you happy, Miss Goodlatte?
Nothing. Nothing would make me any happier.
This is quite a rare occasion. My ancestors were Scotch, too. Have you ever heard of Edward McCarville?
Are you really Scotch, Edward?
No, of course I am.
That's Scotch. I'll bet you can't say it's a broad brick moonlit neck. Okay, Bergen, you can take the marbles out of your mouth.
I can say it, my lad. It's a broad brick, moonlich nicht to nicht.
Is that not so, yeah?
Yeah, scram, McArnold. Ella, don't let him fool you. He's not a Scotchman.
Well, I don't believe either of you is Scotch.
Oh, poor Lassie. My mother was Scotch and my father was Scotch.
How about Bergen? Is he Scotch?
Just by temperament. I'll hear about that later on. What part of Scotland do you come from? The Highlands or the Highlands?
Oh, I come from the Lowlands. I'm one of the Logans of Kirk and Killoch.
Sure, and I'm one of the McCarthys of Chase and Sanborn.
Well, you're a boy after my own heart. But why aren't you wearing your kilt?
I'm a wee bit too old to be running around with a petticoat and a whisk broom. And besides, lass, it gets a wee bit brassy.
Oh, I must correct you, Sandy. What you're referring to is not a whisk broom. It's called a sporran. S-P-O-R-R-A-N.
Well, what's a sporran for?
Oh, that's where a Scotchman keeps his money.
Oh, it's a pocketbook with a beard on it.
The coat of arms in front of this button shows just what clan a Scotchman belongs to. Now, what clan do you belong to, Sandy?
The soft shell clan of Rockaway.
Oh, Charles, you know so little about Scotland, and it's such a wonderful place. Now, what is nicer than to go roaming in the gloaming with a Macintosh up under you?
Might I suggest a McCarthy around you?
Oh, Charlie.
Oh, ouch. Ooh, you are a bony lassie.
The word is bonny, Charlie. And when I take you to Scotland, we'll visit Ochtermuchty and Echel Fechel.
Oh, Ochtermuchty and Echel Fechel. What will we do there?
Oh, there's good hunting there. Have you ever been grouse shooting?
Aye, lass. The first time I went grouse shooting, I shot 3 cocker spaniels the first day. The next day, I got a game warden.
And what else did you shoot?
Well, last night, we were shooting the game in Dugan's basement.
Dugan's basement? I don't understand. What's the point?
The point was 8, but I didn't make it.
Oh, Charlie, you're quite a sportsman. Do you play our Scotch national game, golf?
You bet your kilties, I do. You should see me swing my brassy, blast out of a sand trap, and sink a putt.
Oh, are you a professional?
Not until I improve my stench.
you mean stench, my
darling? Aye, Michaela, aye.
Well, I'll bet you sixpence that you don't know the national dish of Scotland.
It must be macaroons, eh?
No.
Scotch broth.
Ach, no. Our national dish is haggis.
Haggis, sake. What is this?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It looks like a football,
uh-huh.
But you don't kick it. You eat it.
Ah.
And 10 minutes after you eat it...
You wish you'd kicked it.
No, but haggis really has a kick in it. You see, we use whiskey for a sauce.
I'll bet the sauce is popular. Ella, will you sup with me tonight?
Why, yes, Sandy, with pleasure.
Again, tell your mother I'll be over at 8.
Oh, Charlie, you're a charmer. And do you know there's an old Scottish song that was written about a charmer named Charlie?
Is that so? Will you beat it out and break it up, lassie?
Why, certainly. Listen. Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling, my young chevalier.
Oh, Ella is my darling, my tootsie, my wootsie. Ella is my darling, let's have a drink of beer.
The Chase and Sanborn Orchestra, and a tune we all used to pick out on the piano.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the girls, and the girls love me.
Remember the first thing tomorrow morning.
Yes, something you'll think of at breakfast time because it concerns cream and milk, eggs and coffee. Remember that they're all perishable foods. They're all at their best when they're fresh. Please don't overlook that fact about coffee. It is perishable. A food that actually changes when it loses its freshness. Coffee must be fresh because it contains a delicate oil. When coffee is freshly roasted, that oil carries a marvelous aroma and flavor. But if you want that goodness, be sure your coffee is freshly roasted. For stale coffee can have a rancid taste that's harsh and disagreeable. And while coffee, like other perishable foods, can be preserved, millions of people prefer coffee they know is freshly roasted. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. And here's why you always get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee freshly roasted. Chase and Sanborn roasting ovens are located from coast to coast. A special fresh food delivery service rushes the freshly roasted coffee from a nearby oven to your grocer. And every pound bears the date your grocer received that coffee, freshly roasted. That date, stamped plainly on the bag front, is your assurance of freshly roasted coffee. Try this superb blend, hot for breakfast and iced when the sun pounds down. Its full body and extra richness are ideal for iced coffee. But hot or iced, you're sure of finer flavor because you get choice coffees freshly roasted. Enjoy this superb blend every day. Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow. A stirring song which tells its own beautiful story. Nelson Eddy sings The Blind Plowman.
soul.
Around to the end of another Chase and Sanborn hour, an hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way to tell us that you enjoy our show. Next week, Dorothy L'Amour will be back with us, and our special guest will be the beautiful Virginia Bruce. Of course, we'll hear from Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, with Charlie McCarthy, the Strouds, Claude and Clarence, and Robert Armbruster, and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Until next Sunday, then, so long!
With us again next Sunday for another big Chase and Sanborn hour. Virginia Bruce, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Edward Arnold, Dorothy L'Amour, the Stroud Twins, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program was The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee. This is the National Broadcasting Company.